Okay, we're just into the second session of our interview with Emmanuel. We're just picking it up from where we left off yesterday. Emmanuel, we had asked a question, I think the last question we'd asked, which is a very involved question, so feel free to discuss, say, you know, respond in whatever way you want, is how do you think the recent developments within the ANC and the Polokwane change in leadership, what's your opinion of that, and how do you think in particular it has affected not only, I mean, what you think of it, but also in terms of the work that you do here in the community and the possibilities for changes? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel and I see that maybe it can be the changes after the leadership, the new leadership of African National Congress, ANC. So I do believe that the leadership of Comrade JZ, they will make a big difference in South Africa. So I believe that, because especially where I'm staying in Mangosuthu, or let me say in Limpopo, where different communities from Mokopane, where PPL mining is mining, and then where Tukine mine at Magobading is mining, and then other communities including Marula and Mandausuk, and other many more in Limpopo who are fighting or who are complaining about the mine that they're taking place without consulting them at the place that they are using their own things that they are making them to be grow and then to live better, like the way they are living now. So I think the government or the new leaders of the ANC, they will chip in or they will help the communities, because I think it's the song of the ANC. They are always saying that we need a better life for all South Africans, and then the province of Limpopo really is in South Africa. So meaning that the people of Limpopo, they must get the benefits from the mines, especially the people who are staying next to the mine, the affected people, because what the mine they are doing, we are not feeling free, we are not feeling happy about what they are doing, because they are just bulldozing the people coming to the land and drilling without consulting the chiefs, drilling without consulting the owner of the community, losing the land. And then now there is other people who are landless people today because of the mine. They have lost their plowing fields, they have lost of grazing fields, so they have lost of the land because of the mine. And I'm blaming the mine. I'm also blaming the people who they have granted the permission for that company to come to enter to our land without the authority of the people who are living there. So I'm saying that is totally wrong, and then it's not acceptable in the people of this country. So I think we need the changes of the movement in the country, and then we need the changes of the political parties. We need government to change also itself.
Okay, and you know, the question I was starting to ask you yesterday when we stopped the interview was, apart from how you feel about Polokwane, how do you think your neighbors in the rest of Mandasuk, do you think it's an important event for them? Do you think people are excited about it, or have people just simply treated it as yet another congress?
You mean people they were...
The community more generally.
Yes. I hope everyone he was watching at the TV at that moment to see who is winning, because we were interested to know who is winning. And then we were, all of us, wishing that Comrade Zuma must win. And then it happened that Comrade Zuma win. So we are feeling happy and proud. We, from my side, I'm taking Zuma as a hero. He's been in the exile. He was in the army. He was in the striker. You know, when we are saying you are a comrade, you must be involved in those things that I have mentioned. So I think you must when you are a comrade, really, you must be involved at that thing so that I have mentioned just now, because people like to blame Comrade JZ. I had the last chairperson of the ANC, Musiwa Lokota. He was saying, how can a man at this time still singing about Umchinwam? And from my side, I believe that if you are really a comrade, if you've been involved in the strike here, as a leader, you must know different things, and also you must sing when you are with other comrades to show them that you are a real leader. So I'm not meaning that if you are not singing, you are not a real leader. Because Zuma is showing us that he's active, he knows everything, and is the right comrade to lead the communities in the country.
Just about that song, you know, a lot of people have heard Umchinwam and thinking, especially, I mean, in South Africa, there's particularly from the media and from sections of the white community, and certainly from sections of the African community as well, have not enjoyed that song. And you mentioned Lakota. Lakota, as Vincent said, it's not appropriate to the period we're living in, because why are we talking about machine guns? For you, what does that song mean?
For me, the song is just meaning where we come from. And it's meaning also what it was happening at that time of apartheid government. If you were watching the TV, after Comrade Zuma win at Polokwane, they've shown Zuma when he was still at army. And then it came to my mind to say, it's where we come from, and then it's how we win the battle, and then it's how we defeat the old government. So that is why I'm saying now to you, when you are a comrade, you must be involved in different things. And also you must sing when you are with other comrades.
So how do you think, or the first question actually, since December, have you sensed any changes that have taken place as a result of what's happened? Or do you, any changes in attitudes, even if it's the mine or the government or anything like that?
Deal, the changes that I've seen is the first leaders of the government of the ANC, I mean, those they are out now, Lekota and President Thabo Mbeki and Nkosazana Zuma and other people. The changes that I've seen is what they are doing now, because they are aware from Zile and other people, they are aware that next year is the time of the election. All of them, they will be out. What they are doing, the MEC, the minister, what they are doing, instead of doing things easily for Comrade JZ or for the next people who are still going to lead this country, it seems they are making things difficult. Let me give you an example. Now, as I said to you about the problems of the mind, because it's what I've experienced in Limpopo especially. I'm not excluding other provinces. The guy called Zandile, the DG of the DME, he have announced on the 21st of January that they will grant, or they will look how they can grant the convention of Anglo-American. And they've also announced that before they will grant that convention, they will have to communicate with communities, and they will have to communicate with the local government. Everybody must be involved. But before that can happen, he announced that they are giving Anglo-American until the March to grant their convention. So what I'm saying here, he's passing a ball himself. I believe that he's passing ball straight, but he's going to that side to get the ball. Meaning that they are taking the powers that they are controlling now to be themselves. You mean they are aware that they will be out, so they're trying to change things. It's the changes that I'm feeling that they are taking place now. So it's nothing change to be better for the communities. It's something changing for those people who were the leaders by that time to try to make reach themselves or to try to make their family to be better more than the way they are now.
Okay. And if you were to try to look into the after the elections, okay, 2009, excuse me, with this new leadership coming in, clearly, there's going to be a change of guard in the ANC. Two different parts to my question. The first one is, what do you think is going to happen? And secondly, what do you want to happen in terms of that change of leadership for this community where you live and your life?
From when?
From, okay, you talked about the elections are going to mark the change.
Yes.
So there's going to be a change of guard, you know, the new leadership will come in, whoever they are. We don't know what's going to happen between now and then, but there will be a big change. Now, what do you expect? This was a question we were asking you about 1994, if you remember, you know, expectations. What do you expect will happen? And then what would you want to happen in terms of specifically your life and this community here? Not in large terms.
Dear, we as South Africans, or I was saying, we are going to be equal. As the former president, after he was released from the jail, from his speech in Cape Town, he said, black people, Indians, coloreds, everybody who's living in this country, we must be equal and together. So I was saying also, really we are going to be together. This thing of discrimination is going to be die. It's going to be at the end. And then the workers, they are going to be free. They will earn better living wage. The treatment will be the same to the black people and the Indians and the white people. So my feelings, and then the way I was thinking, I realized that it's nothing is taking place to what I was thinking. And then to what the former president was saying, really is nothing that is taking place at this moment. So I'm still wishing that we can be together as South African. We can sing same song, one song. We can be one nation. Because now if you can see, there is a different politicians movements in the country. Instead of being a one of politician and sing one song and do the same, because all of that politicians, we are saying we need people to have a better life. So why we don't come in the one umbrella and do what we want to do, all of us?
Okay, so you're expecting that this particular leadership is going to move more in the direction you're talking about?
Yes, I believe so. Especially by the leadership of Comrade JZ. Most of people like to say Comrade JZ, he's not educated and then he can't do anything. He's just going to give those small boys like Vibe and a chance. They're just going to do things without telling him because he can't even read. Because when I was listening to the radio a day before, the elections at Polokwane. After Mbeki's famous mother talks on the radio, there's a guy who was talking on the radio saying, Zuma, he can't even read, he can't even talk English, he doesn't know anything. So those people who are supporting Zuma, they're supporting Zuma in intention of coming to use Zuma. So they will do things without informing Zuma because he can't do anything, because he doesn't know anything. So we know that people, they were just trying to influence and to speak Comrade JZ Betts. But I believe myself that Comrade JZ, he can talk English as he's talking always, and he can write, because I think he's always writing things as the president of the ANC now. So, you know, education is needed to be a leader. But if people like you to be a leader, even if you are not educated, so I think we must teach you how much... The community or the country, they must learn you. They must teach you how you must lead the people. So I think Zuma, without the fear, is setting he knows how how people must be led. So I think he's a good leader, and then he's going to be the good president next year.
Can I ask you a question? You know, in 1994, a lot of people would have said, you know, after 1994, we are all going to be equal. In fact, when we've asked a lot of people about the, you know, when we've interviewed them, they've said, that's what we thought. After 1994, we thought we'd all be equal.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, because people, a lot of people don't believe it's happened. Now, what if it doesn't happen again? What if it turns out that our best hopes don't come true?
As I indicate to you that things that they are not happening in the country is because of the leadership that we are having in our country. I don't believe that Comrade JZ, he will have the problem of the leadership. I think what he's going to do is going to do what community is saying. Whatever the people who are going to be next to the Comrade JZ, unless if they are not going to comply with the rule of the country or the instruction of Comrade JZ, and that is where I can say to you that we are going to have problem. And then what is happening now, the experience that we have experienced in Limpopo, where the people, they have hired the security and then fighting the community. So we'll be going back to the battle again. So if really, by the chance of Comrade JZ, is nothing is going to happen, we are going back to the blood.
Okay, and then let's hope that doesn't happen. But the next question would be, you know, Jacob Zuma has been formally charged and will likely go to court soon. What do you think would happen if he was convicted?
About Comrade JZ's charge, I know he was unfair treatedly at other things by the Scorpion. But even if they can put him in the custody, found him guilty and put him in the custody, but he will remain to be the president of the country. I don't think that they will find him guilty. So about that charges, he's been charged. And then I believe that he will come out from court, because I believe that if really they can arrest him, it will affect the people of this country. So I'm not maybe confusing the judgment. So we need judgment for everybody. But really, if they will try maybe to pursue it, a Comrade JZ, or maybe to force the charges to him, it will cause some violence in the country, because we take him as a hero and as a great man in the country. And then from where he's come from, the people from KwaZulu-Natal, they love Comrade JZ more than the way we love him, maybe because he's a Zulu. But we don't no matter if he's a Zulu or he's a Pedi or he's a Wachangani, but we love him the way he's working for the people of this country. About the churches, I'm saying to you, bro, I'm having a fear because of the leadership that we are having. They can force Zuma to the jail, to the prison, but if they can do that, I'm telling you, it will affect the people of this country.
And who do you think that violence will be directed against?
It will be directed to, because we believe as communities, most of us in the country, we believe that the cause of this problem is that they Comrade Mbeki, after the issue of rape, before maybe we can go to the courts, he just dismissed Comrade JZ from his position, which is, we feel all of us that that was wrong. He was supposed to wait court to rule that. You see, so I think that all these things, it will be going to the government and Comrade Ndadembek.
Okay, just to follow up on that, because one of the other questions I had was about the courts. And it's not just about JZ, it's about your own experience with the courts. Because you in the struggle here in Mandasuk, you've had experiences with the justice system in the courts here. You've been arrested, you've had to go to court, you've taken the mind to court, there's legal things that are going on. Do you believe, as not only as a South African, but as a community representative here, that there is fair justice in this country for everyone?
Not. It's still depending how much you've got in your pocket or how much you have in your pocket. There is, people, is still the problem of the leadership that I've already indicated here. People that are still taking briberies, people that are still biased, people when they are judging somebody, they are not judging somebody through what has been happened. They are judging somebody because they know him, where he's come from. And then they know it. They are judging somebody because he's poor, doesn't have the money to pay or to cancel that incident or that issue that he was facing now. So there is no a fair judgment in this country in general. So I don't want to touch the issue. Even as we are the people of Mandasuk, we are not feeling happy about the judgment that we are facing. I don't want to touch the issue of Comrade JZ. I don't want to touch the issue of Shagri Sheikh, because issue of Shagri Sheikh is linking with the issue of Comrade JZ. But if you can see now, even if I touch the issue of JZ before, what Comrade Shagri Sheikh he did, he was with Comrade JZ. But just look now what is happening. The issue of Comrade JZ is still going on and it is taking long. We don't know what's the problem, because if Comrade Shagri Sheikh is in the custody, Comrade Zuma must also be in the custody. But you see when things going on, I don't believe Comrade Zuma will be in custody. So I think it's just depending where you come from and then who is fighting you and blah blah and other issues.
Give us an example of one of your own experiences with the court system here in the last few years that tells about what you're talking about, that kind of by the experience that you've had and the community here in the courts, that might give us an example of the things you were saying.
For like myself, I was arrested with other comrades, and then I went to court several times, and I've never saw the complainant against me or against those people they were arrested. And I know that state, the government, and the mine, they are always together. And when we are at the regional court, the station commander, he was told by the prosecutor, he was chased out by the prosecutor, because the station commander was trying to bribe the prosecutor, maybe to make our case to be strong and then to make us to be in the custody. Because they were having caucus before we can come in. So Richard, he was also there. And then I've been told that by Richard that the station commander was trying to get prosecutor maybe to make our case strong, but he was chased out. So is that he's not starting to do that things. Meaning he's studying somewhere about other cases that we are facing. So there are still other comrades who are facing the cases at in Mandasuk, and we have opened the cases ourselves to against the mine, against the security who are not staying, and we are not South Africans. But those people, they are not arrested even when we are talking now. So meaning that there is something flying. We know how people they are doing. We know how this traffic cop they are taking bribe on the roads. We know how police they are taking bribery on the police stations. So we know all this stuff. So there's something flying.
And do you think that that it doesn't matter who you are, is if you are caught doing something wrong, if it's bribery, that you should pay the price, even if you're president of the country?
Yes.
Let's say it turns out that Jacob Zuma did take the bribe from Shabir Sheikh. And on the basis of the money that he received, he went and negotiated on Shabir Sheikh's behalf. Do you think he should go to jail?
Yes, I agree that if he's done something wrong, he must go to the jail. But I'm saying also to you that it will have a conflict. It will sound some otherwise to the communities. So even if they're going to judge that, they must be careful. It's not just a simple man. It's a leader of the people of this country, and then we are looking at Comrade Jezeb, all of us. So we hope the best to him, and then okay.
I have another, just shifting off the Jezeb thing and the results from Polokwane. I'm sure you're aware. About 2 weeks ago. That there was an announcement that Patrice Motsepe gave 10 million rand in dividends to traditional leaders. Do you know about that?
Yes, I know.
What do you think about that whole thing? Given that Motsepe is so central to the issues here in this community.
When I saw that the Sowetan, it was on page 17, I'm still right. No, I'm still right. I'm from right. Yes. He gave the people the money, including Zolitin, if I'm right. And then I was reading if I would find the name of somebody from Mandasuk, where Patrice Motsepe is mining. I was reading going down if maybe the paramount chief of Skukuni, he got something. So, and then I realized that there is nothing to those people. And then I was thinking about that. I said, man, because there was the speakers also saying, praising Patrice is a good man. I don't know if it's still Zolitini who was praising Patrice is a good man. But that is not true. Patrice is not a good man for the community of Mandasuk. He's a good man to them because he gave them the money. So if he can give me also the money or to the community, we'll praise him as a good man. So really, totally to our side, is not a good man because he's using our land. There is a people who they were using the land where Patrice is mining. They were plowing there. They were feeding themselves from the outcomes of the plow after the plowing. So those people, they are the poorest of the poorest in this country because of Patrice Motsepe. So I'm saying it's not a good man. And then what he have did is nothing to the community of Mandasuk. It's nothing to the people of Limpopo because we are still suffering because of him.
I just want to follow up. What do you think, though, about the giving, even if he did, let's say on that list that you saw that there was a chief, the paramount chief of Sekukuni, what do you think about giving money to traditional leaders, though? So you said if he gave money to the community, then you'd call him a good man. But it wasn't to communities, it was to chiefs.
Yeah, it was not even the paramount chief of Skukuni. Mm. He was not on that list.
Sure.
It's other chiefs from other provinces. So he just want to make his name looks is the good man. So really, as I'm saying, to us, it's not a good man. So he just want to be known in South Africa as if he's doing good things.
Okay, but what I'm asking is, if, for example, Chief Kwete, Isaac Kwete, was on that list, and Patrice Motsepe says, okay, here's 100,000 rand, how would you as the community respond to a chief getting that money from... That's what I'm asking. Because he was giving it to traditional
leaders.
Because
if really the money is directed to the chief, let's say it's directed to Chief Isaac, that money would be the money of the community. Isaac, Chief Kwete, is serving the community. So it's not going to be in his pockets. He's calling that money because he's the chief of the people. So we are the people who, and then he's working for us. So meaning that money will be belong to the community. But Patrice, he didn't do that, and then he gave other people the money. So it's not good for us that it's not helping us by anything.
Okay, you know, when we interviewed some other people here in Mandasuk, they were saying in terms of, you know, people like Patrice Motsepe and so forth, that what he's doing is wrong because he should know because he's black.
Yes.
What for you, what does that mean? What does he mean to be black, and what does he mean for him to know something?
To know, like,
well, that he should know this is wrong because he's black. Why do you think is a what does he mean to be black, and what responsibility do you have to other black people when you're black?
Yeah, I mean, if I understand, maybe your question is, Peter Smith is black, yes. And then is there for the blacks as a BEE, and then meaning that that BEE is going to give the focus on the black people, and then to empower the black people in the country. So Patrice, he knows where he's come from, and he knows how black people they are come from, and then how they have suffered from the old government and the new government. And then he knows what is needed to the black people to be done.
Okay, and so do you think that every person who is black has a responsibility to other black people? And what is that responsibility, if yes?
Roor, most of the leadership at the past was only the white people. So when times comes for the black people to be the leaders, and then it's because of the pressure of the black people until we got the leaders from the black people's side. So I think those people, they must be proud and to take the responsibility of those people who make him to be there. Even if we are equal, we are singing the song of equal in the country, but he must always put his focus to those people. It's like when you are a father in the family, but you are also the leader outside of your house, leading the country. You must also every day give the focus to that family to see how they are living. But also still, you are still the president, and you have to make sure that everybody in this country is covered in your leadership.
Okay, and then just a question that sort of follows on from that. You know, in the apartheid era, one could say that the main fight is between, or some people would have said, the main fight is between black people and white people.
Yeah.
White people have, black people don't. In modern South Africa, what is the main rift in society? What is the main... The main division, is it between black and white, or is it between Zulu and Sipedi, or what is it, or is it?
No, maybe is it in general for those people? Yes, there is. There is a division in difference, people. The big difference that I'm realizing about it is to. Black people. When I'm saying black people, I'm not just meaning Babi. I'm meaning Xhosa, Zulu. I'm meaning Indians. I'm meaning a Ndebele. So we black people. So and then there is a difference, still that difference between black people and white people. So even if among us as black people, there is still difference to Xhosas and Zulu and Indians and the Bapedi. So, but it's not that big much a difference, because now we have realized that we are one nation, and then we are all of us black, and then we have because what ANC or what the black people they have did, it shows especially Inkatha Freedom Party, the Zulu people, that they were supposed to be with the black people, what it was happening by that time, apartheid time. Because if you can see, especially at the issue of is that it's a shell house, né, where the ANC shoot the Zulu people, is it was because the Zulu people, they don't know actually what they want from the government, because they were killing their brothers from black people's side instead of assisting them to fight the apartheid government. So now, just step slowly, they are going and then to know that these are our brothers, they fought for the country, and then we must be together.
Okay, and then just a last follow-on question from that is that, you know, you were defining black very much in terms of how maybe Steve Biko would define it, or, you know, is black, is Indians, coloreds, Africans, you know, those who are oppressed by the white system. But if you go to KwaZulu-Natal today, you know, Indians maybe own a lot of property, a lot of businesses, and many black people are exploited then by other black people. So you'll have, you know, a woman working in an Indian man's house and getting paid very little, maybe even less than he's getting paid in a white person's house. What do you think is at the basis of that?
Of the Indians?
No, not just Indians. I'm just saying, oh, Patrice Motsepe. Mm. You know what I mean? You know, as you're saying, you know, he's exploiting the people of Mandasuk.
Mm.
Or, you know, how does that work, where black people are then exploiting other black people?
Yeah, that is the problem. If I'm still remember the word of Joe Slovo, Comrade Joe Slovo, before he died. I don't remember the date, but I still remember he said somewhere, he agreed that the black people, they will win against the old government. But it's still going to be the problem when they come into to the issue of the leadership, because those people, they still going to start to want to put the money in their pocket first. And then is where the problem is going to start at. So it's what is happening now. It's like now, we are fighting as the communities. We are fighting as the unionists. We are fighting as the people from different movements. But immediately you are recognized, or immediately you are starting to sit down with the capitalist. I mean that, let's take the issue of the unionist. You are the organizer, and then you are black, and you are fighting the rights of the workers. And then immediately you get a promotion, maybe to be the secretary, or maybe you be the minister somewhere. And then you start to change the life. You start to stay at the good place, maybe a town. And then where you are renting, you are not staying with the black people anymore. So we are staying at town, you are using luxury things, and then you will need somebody to come to take the responsibility in your house when you are out from somewhere, and then you will employ black people. So you start to capitalize. Instead of studying about this issue of socialism, to practice it, you start to capitalize to pay those people less money. And don't forget that you are fighting that the people, they must get a better living wage. But you, because now you are a capitalist, you are an employer, you start to work as if you are a capitalist to pay the people the peanuts. So I totally against that. And most of people, they're doing that. Most of the people who are the leaders now, they're paying our sisters and brothers peanuts. Instead of showing them how they must sign the agreement with them, the proper agreements with them for the better life, for the children of those people who are working with those rich people, they are not doing that. They are still doing the same what the white people are doing. So meaning that we are just picking them to be the capitalist.
Okay. All right. They were just shifting a little bit in terms of that. How do you, I mean, you are pretty much a full-time community activist, yeah? How do you support your family now?
I was working at Sasolbeck, and at this moment I don't have anything for supporting my community, my family. So I'm lucky because my mother, she's still alive and she's getting pension. And then I'm also lucky because my wife, she's working, so she's supporting us. Instead of being me, it's my wife supporting us in this family, and my mother helping somewhere there. So it's the way I'm living.
Just on that thing, you know, a lot of people have said that you know, when that starts to happen, and it's, you know, it happens, we see it more and more often, where women find it easier to find employment than men are sitting at home and being supported. Does that change the relations within the household at all?
Come on.
Does it change the way you and your wife relate? The fact that she's working,
I'm not
and
working.
You at home.
No, there is no any changes, because it's just like me. Tomorrow maybe I'll be working and she's not gonna be working. So we are helping one another. So when we meet with my wife, when I meet her, and then we agree that we will live together, and then we will help one another. So we will try to make our family to be easy and better, like other families. So I don't, that is a sin maybe when my wife, she's working, and then if I'm not working. So I think it's just a normal thing, and then I think it's good when somebody is working.
Okay, we're just going to, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, we're just picking up again.
One sec.
Okay. Okay, just a few last questions. One thing, since we last talked to you, obviously there's the struggles here that you're involved in have been continuing. Yeah, they haven't stopped. They've taken on. Give us an update. Over the last while, what things that have been happening in the community since we last talked to us, particularly with regards to the mines, the new mining organization that's come in here, how you've experienced those things. Okay, let me just rephrase that question. Instead of asking you specifically, what we want you to do is tell us the story of the struggle in Mandashuk. Give us, and feel free, if you need to take 10, 15 minutes, that's okay, to tell us, like, you've already given us some background and some of the initial stuff, but just give us that history and that story up until the present.
If you met us and you thought, and we knew nothing about this, and you wanted to explain to us about what was happening in Mandashuk, where would you start and how would you tell the story?
You mean in general, must
like you were telling somebody, you were speaking to a group. Yeah.
What is happening in Mandashuk about the strike that is taking place now between community and the mine? As I'm one of the activities in Mandashuk. What is happening here? Mandashuk is rich for platinum and the other stuff, chrome and nickel and other stuff. So the companies, they are already mining in Mandashuk, like Mudikwa, where Anglo and Arm, they have joint venture.
When did they start?
They started to mine in 2001, and from that side, and they started to mine by the old order of the mineral and the rights. I mean that they've granted the mineral rights or the permit of mining there by the old rights. So now there is a new order of the mineral rights, and by the old rights, this place was belonged to Anglo-American. So by the new order now, they have to convert to the new order, the old rights to the new order, where communities, by that time of the old right, community was not included when they are making their agreements with the government, meaning that the minerals, the way it belongs to the government, and then the government, they were just deciding themselves which is the best. To mine at Mandasuk. They were just deciding alone. So now by the new act order, they have to consult with the community, the people who are staying affected next to the mine. So as community, we knew that there is a new order, and then they have to consult with us, because it was pain to us, and then it was difficult to work with those mines, because they were just taking our land without consulting us, and then we were complaining as community. Is where they are calling police, is where they are calling, they are making court interdicts against the community members. And then, because when you're talking about the mine, we're talking about the people who are rich, having the money, so they can do anything they want. I explained at the past earlier that when Patrice talks, everybody's listening, because Patrice is a millionaire. So when we're talking about the mine, everybody's listening, everybody is having interest in the mine. So everybody's willing to help the mine to get what they want to get from the place where the people are staying. Everybody is not care about the people who are staying there, how they're going to survive, how they're going to be safe about this mine, how they're going to get employment. Everybody looking for his stomach, his jacket. So it's where strikers started. When the people start starting to lose their land without consultation, where people starting to lose their grazing land and other stuff, experiencing the crack houses, experiencing different things in the village, is where people started to stand up and to say, we knew how we fought the old government, so now we are in the new government, but we are still facing the same problem that we were facing at the past. So it's where we started to stand up and then to rebel again against our own government, against our brothers, where those people who are the owning the mines now, like Patrice and he are like other people who are from the BEE. So it's the problem now. And another thing is what is happening is, when community want to protect their lands from the mines, police, they're coming in, politicians, they're coming in, and the people who are working in the government coming in. As I said to you, that everybody having the interest in the mine, no one is care, even the politicians, those who are singing every day to say, we will fight for the rights of the communities, they forget about the communities, meaning that they forget to be after their weights, what they have said to us. We have complained to the, we went to the premier's office, we went to the politician, we write the letters to the president to say, President, can you help us? We write the letters to the minister. Myself, I write the letters to Minister Bulela Sonjika. I write the letters to Tingwani, Lulula Tingwani, to say, the Minister of Land Affairs and the Minister of DME, to intervene on this issue. We meet with the DGs at Pretoria to say the issue of Mandasuk, the issue of the Limpopo is a problem. Can you intervene on the third party to resolve this problem at Mandasuk, because there's a problem of mine and communities. So communities complain, saying, are relentless people today because of the mine. Mine says they got the right. You gave them the rights. Can you come to explain? Can you give the community the chance to mine themselves? And then it's where people getting conflicts now. Everybody going down, up and down, and then doing toy and other stuff.
Okay. And if we were to ask you for a timeline of events, what would be the first event that for you started the struggle?
on this issue of the mines. Myself, because I was working at Sasolburg, and then I came here in 2005, and on November, December actually, I was already at home, December 2005, and then in 2006, and then I started to be with my our community. I remember on the 8th of June, 2007, where we organized a meeting, the mine they were drilling outside of their fence, and we went there as community to stop them. So I was leading the community, and then we stopped the mine. We said there is no any resolution between us and the mine. We told them that they don't have the right to jump to our land without consulting the community. So we need to benefit from the mine as the community. We have experienced the crack houses. So it's better if they stopped, and then we were aware about this issue of the conversion to the new order. So before they can do the conversion to the new order, they must come to our chiefs, they must come to the member of the community, those who are elected by the community to be the representative. And then also community, they must take the resolution. And then we agreed with the mine that they will call the police, and then police, by that time, all the 8, the police were called, and then we had the meeting with the police at the mine. It's where police said, no, we will have the meeting on the same place tomorrow, at just next to the Mudikwa. Tomorrow when we come there, it's where the station commander of police station of Middelburg Morocco, who take a list from his pocket and then started to read the names. So he started about my name, and then follow the name of the Lazarus, and comes other people. And then we went there because we agreed with them that we are going to have the meeting. And then it's where they announced that they arrest us to the community. And the community said to them that if you arrest this our leaders, it's better you take all of us. Police refused to arrest all the communities. It's where they started to shoot and to beat our people. And then it's where they started to kick everybody, to shoot by the rubber bullets, and then also they've used the live bullets to shoot the community. I still remember that they shoot Memailan, his her arm, by the live bullets. She was like, because live bullet go in and be out by that time. So, but she was injured, and then she was bleeding, and by that time, so, and then we were arrested. So it's where we are going back on the question when you were asking me to say I must explain this issue of torturing and then abusing the people. It's what they did to us. We feel that they are torturing us because they were threatening us that they will shoot us and then do whatever they want to us. So we feel that our government is so ignoring the people of this country because they didn't show that they are the decision maker. They are doing anything they want. So we need our government to be cooperate with the people of this country.
And what did they charge you with? What did they charge you with when they arrested you?
I was charged by intimidation and public violence and trespassing. How can I trespass in my mother or my father's land, in our land? How can I fight? How can we make a public violence in our land? Because we believe the land of that Madiba is using is belong to us. So there is no need of coming to me claiming to say they're owning that land and claiming to say we are making the public violence. Can I make public violence when the police, they're beating us, harassing us, shooting us? So we are not stupids, man, where people, they can say we were trespassing. We can't trespass in my yard. We can't trespass in the land of our parents. The land that the Manda are using is belong to the people of Mandasu. It's just because they feel that they are rich, they are having clever lawyers, they have money in their pockets, so they can treat everybody the way they like. So we are saying that it's totally wrong and that it's not acceptable. We are not going to allow our government to do anything they like about the lives of the people of this country.
And then what happened after? Sorry, Dad.
Go ahead.
Well, what happened after that? After they arrested you, you've now gone. Did you go to? Yeah.
Yes, they arrested us. They take us to jail, and then I spent 3 days in court in the custody without the reason, because the case was dismissed without the reason. You see, so that is why I'm saying we've been we are tortured and oppressed and doing the things. A lot of things have been done to us without the reason. So the police, they were not supposed to arrest us because there was no reason why they have to arrest us. The police is not the weapon of the mind. The police is not the bad things where mind who those who want to make something in the land to threaten the community by the police. The police is the people who must brought peace in this country and to make sure all parties they are equal.
Okay, and then I remember reading that there was mine equipment burnt and so forth. Was this the same incident?
No, it's not, but it's other side, but it's the same farm, Mandasuk. And I'm always saying to everybody.
Then can you tell us what happened there?
Yes, I'm willing to tell you what happened about that. After we had the negotiations, the meetings with Sharif Pando, the guy who's leading the team, which is mining now at the Garata farm in Mandasuk. And then we told him that we need proper agreement to him. We need him to sit down with the community and with the community representative, Richard Spoor. They have refused to sit down with the Richard Spoor to make an agreement with community and Richard Spoor. So after community decided to protect the land, because they were just bringing the machine without any agreement. When we asked them why they're bringing the machine, they were telling us it's because of Hoshi Mpuru is allowing them to mine there. We are saying, as South Africans, Hoshi Mpuru, even if he's a traditional leader, even if he's a paramount chief, he don't have the right to take decision of my father for the family. You see now, this is a family of Mahoha. No one can come to take this here on the family of Mahoha. What Hoshi must do is, Hoshi is a messenger of the community. Is working for the community. I mean that if the mine want to do something, they must go to Ahmed as a chief and say, Ahmed, we want to do something in Mahoha's yard. Can you call Mahoha for us? And then it's where we are going to start to negotiate. Mahoha is, through to the constitution of this country, he got the right to say, no, I don't want to speak to you about that. Let me call my lawyer to assist me because I don't know anything about the mine issues. It's where lawyer is needed and then to draft an agreement what is going to happen. See now in Limpopo, people that are getting mine just dumping the land of the people and then relocating the people without the reason. So people that are getting, they are suffering because of the mine. And then what is the government is doing? It's silent. Because they are having the interest in the mine. What is happening to the premiers? We wrote the letters to the premier. It's nothing is happening. They will just enjoy the luxury blue lights. Always, we. People, they're crying at the ground. They want better life. What they are singing every day. It's nothing they're happening. What is the MEC they are doing? What is the ministers they are doing? They are quiet because we believe that they're getting something from the mine. So we need them to be straight. And we need them to be behind of their ways, what they have said to the communities.
Okay.
All right. I wanted to ask you. You've described a lot of activities that you've done and engaged in. You've just given us the story. Tell us a bit about how you think that your activities and your fight and struggle have affected or impacted or changed things positively or not. In other words, has there been any movement as a result of all of these things that have happened that you've described to us?
Bro, there is a task team from the Premier's office. After we engage with the Premier's office, after we meet with the Premier's office, Premier himself to explain our problems about what we are experiencing at the ground level, at the community's land, where they are taking place. And then there was a task team to investigate what is happening. Is what we are saying is true? Is what has been on the media is true? And then that task team at this moment deal is nothing is happening from the task team, because I believe that task team is so weak, and then it's so corrupt, and then it's so biased, because still people are still losing the land instead of protecting the land, meaning that that task team is not doing anything to protect the land of the community. So that task team is not making sure that people that are still in the camp, safe camp for everybody. So still people are still losing the land. Still there is still conflicts between the mine and the communities. So that communities, that task team is not helping us by anything. It's there, but it's not doing anything. It's because of what I've said, that I believe that everybody, when the mind talks, is they are listening and they want to be involved, and they are having their own interest. So there is no any changes. So we don't see what is going on. So it's still the problem. So that is why we need also that the premier, the president, we wrote the letter to him. And then when he wrote the letter to the president, he directed the letter to Polokwane. The people who are giving those people permission, they are, if we write a letter to the president about the land, they will refer the letter to the land affairs. And the land affairs is the people who are giving the mine the permission. So it's still going to be the problem. So we need the president himself to come down to say, to judge if it's possible.
And since we last talked to you, there's also been some movement of a new mining company coming into the community and starting the operations up here on the hills. Just tell us a little bit about that one, because it's a little bit different than the Modikwe ARM issue.
Yes, Dale, I believe that is different. Because as community, as I told you before, that we have just jumped to the drain. I mean, the drain was already moving, and then we have jumped as community. I mean that they were already started to prospect, to drill. And then we have jumped to say, how do you get the prospecting permit? How do you start to prospect? And then we have tried to call them down, and with our attorney, Richard Spohr, to try to sign an agreement with them. But at this time, we are still waiting the lawyers from the mine side and Richard to finish about the agreement. But what is happening now, they are already starting about the preparation of the mine, meaning that they are having the license of mining. And as community, we are asking ourselves how the DME granted them the license, the permit of mining. And because of this side, we are still doing the drafting the agreements. The lawyers are still working about that. And because we saw the proposal of the mine, and then we saw the proposal from our side legally, and then we believe what is going to the stake of the community, of the shares of the community, will be good of the community if really we will sign that agreement.
Okay. And you also mentioned that this mine here, this Australian mining company, is going to do open cast mining. Is that correct?
Yes.
Does that, what is your concern? Because the Modikwe mine is going down. It's a shaft mine.
Yeah.
This is open cast. It's quite different. Are there any concerns for you and your community about environmental issues in particular?
Yes, they are going to open the open cast for a year. They are only going to mine there for 6 to 7 years. Meaning the first year they are going to open the open cast, and then the second years they are going to dig going down, and they are going to cut off that hills. So really it will be the changes at that hills. And then I hope some other people next to the hills, they will be affected by the mine, meaning the issue of the relocation, it will be touched there sometimes. So even if the agreement is not signed yet, I believe that when it's signed, the people who are going to be affected will be covered, in that agreement, and that it will be proper. So I'm just afraid that because they have already started to make the preparation of the mine before we can sign an agreement. But really, we will look on that with our attorney and as the committee to see how can we do things quick as we can to make sure that we sign an agreement before they can put the plant or other things.
Just one very specific question. To your knowledge as a community, has there been an environmental impact assessment done? This is usually the law when things like this happen, and they need to check and see what effects it's going to have on the water supply, on the erosion, if they take some of the land away in the hills and those kinds of things. Do you know?
Yes. The experience that we are having from...
With the Australia, here, have you guys seen an environmental assessment of the potential plan for operation?
No.
Okay.
No, because government, they know, DME, Land Affairs, they must send those people.
But that has not happened?
That has not happened, and okay. We don't know why, but they have already doing something. They must come to check. There is a crack houses before we can make the blast. At those people, maybe those who will be affected. There is a crack houses in Mandasuk. There is enough water at Mandasuk. Then there is before we make a blast, there is animals there. There is people going around there. Where these people fetch water? How those people they are living? There is the taros. Before they can use their trucks, they must just come to see how people of Mandasuk they are living. But there is no one from the government coming. Maybe it's because they've been paid that they mustn't come.
Okay. Did you have a question there?
No. Okay. Related to this.
Okay. Given all that you said now, all of these things, these struggles, the problems and everything, when you're sitting here now, it's February 2008, and things are moving quite rapidly. What kind of challenges do you see ahead for the community now? The main challenges for you, and also as a community leader for yourself, in terms of the things that you would, if you were to have a year plan, or the next year or two, what would you say would be the main things that are challenges for you, for the community, and for yourself, in relation to the living conditions here, of the quality of life, of the things that you're struggling for?
The first challenge I think as community, because we are aware how people they are working, instead of helping communities, they are doing themselves. So I believe that we must just stand up and to say we need the president to come down. Because even if you can take decision as community, our decision is going to be wrong or right. We are not going to get support from our leaders. So we believe that the president of this country, the president of the ANC, they can do something.
I just want to, I think Dale's got the one last question, and I just before we go there, I wanted to just a couple of follow-up questions about stuff that we saw last time. One, when we spoke to the councillor, it was clear that, we saw a lot of people gathering water from, streams and so forth. At the same time, the councillor was saying that no, there's 200 meters thing, and then he was saying some of the pipes are broken and so forth. Has there been any improvement in the water situation in Mandasuk since the last time we were here?
No. If you, when you were outside, if you saw those comrades, they were going up and down, they were picking the pipes, they are getting themselves from the water themselves from the hills, and then to the yards. So it's difficult. Mine is not providing anything, water for the community. And on the issue, the government somewhere is trying to provide water for the communities. their community, the member of the communities, I don't know, but it's the thief who are stealing the machine, the pump machine of water. And then also it's true what the council said. The people, they are breaking the pipes and stealing the pipes and doing bad things. But that is not meaning that the council or the government must stop to serve the community by the water. If the machine is stolen, the government is the duty of the government to make sure that the people, they are getting enough water. Even if the pipes are broken, it's the duty of the government to make sure that those pipes, they're getting another pipe, they repair that pipe, or they're getting another pipe to make sure that community, they're getting enough water.
And just in terms of the Madikwa pumps, you know, Madikwa put in with that big sign, Madikwa cares, but it wasn't working. The Madikwa taps.
Yes.
Did Madikwa fix them?
No, there is no water yet from Madikwa site. I think Madikwa is very, very excited to put the boss to say they are cares for the people of Mandasuk about water and other things. So what they are doing is totally wrong, because there is no water, there is nothing. So meaning they are lying. So maybe the president or the people who are driving through here, they feel that Madikwa is doing good things for the people of Mandasuk. So there is no water there. So they are just putting their own bots. They're just doing anything they want to do, but they are not helping the community by anything. There's no water in it.
Thanks. It's
okay. I wanted to ask you, well, this has to do with services. Has, or in any way, the recent power crisis in the country, the ESCOM issue, have you felt it here in any way? How has it impacted on life here? This whole thing, because it's been a big thing in the country, this ESCOM power cutting, all this stuff.
Yes, yes, there is a problem of the electricity ESCOM in the country, including also the Mandasuk is included, because we are using the electricity of ESCOM. So the impact that is we can explain now to you is there was no a formal maybe presentation to the community, or the formal message to the community of the problem of the electricity, which that must be done by the municipality, must inform the community what is going to happen about the electricity. So we are just hearing from the radio, watching to the TV, when the mines, they are complaining about the savings of the electricity, and the CEO of the ESCOM talking. So we have just started to know that there is a problem of the electricity, and then the impact that we will sometimes we'll see the electricity just going off, and then sometimes you are watching TV, you are lighting your fridge, and then your fridge getting burned, your computer getting burned. And then you're losing your computer, or you're losing your TV or your radio, because there is no any information you are getting from our municipality. So we are just seeing things at the TV. So yes, we agree that there is a problem with that.
So you're to make a little bit of fun, you're literally in the dark.
Yeah.
You know when they say someone is in the dark, it means that they don't know what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are in the dark, because they are just talking, saying there is a problem, and the mine complainings, and then ANC talking about they must increase the electricity by 6%, and the workers, they must be retrenched because of the electricity, and then those workers are our brothers and sisters. So and then we start to focus to see what is happening about this electricity. What is somebody's problem about this electricity? Is somebody's fault about this electricity? And then we are just listening to the secretary of the ANC complaining, ESCOM saying they will try to pick up, and it's the fault of the government, and the ESCOM, they must pick up the electricity. So yes, we are in dark, because we don't know what is happening.
And my very last question to you, Emmanuel, not as a community activist, not as a leader in this community, but as Emmanuel Okoha, you personally, what are your dreams? What do you see for yourself? So outside of all your other responsibilities and your leadership role here, for yourself as an individual, as a man, what are your dreams now from here, for your own life, yeah, and your family?
My dreams is, I want to see myself having a better life, like everybody in the country. I'm dream to be a different leadership in the country. As I indicated to you that there is a problem of leadership. So I sometimes think and dream to join the politics. And then to come to make sure that the communities, people are getting services. I am having the forms of the ANC. I want to join the ANC. And then I want to start to contest on the position of the councillor. Because I believe that the councillor, they must play a role, I don't know how can I put it, but the councillor are the people who must take care of the communities. The councillor are the people who must deliver the needs of the community to the right position or to the right place. So when you are the councillor, it's not meaning that you are against the community. You are the messenger of the community. You deliver the needs of the community. And you are working for the government, working for the municipality. You are telling the municipality to do the right thing. In my life, I saw one comrade at Sasolburg. He was a councillor. His name was Kondo. He's a Xhosa guy. He was a councillor at the place where most dominating people are Xhosa and Zulu. And then it just was the hostel there. And then they started to build the RDPs. Kondo one day organized a march against the municipality because they have announced public that there is the money of the houses. And Kondo asked the money of the houses. He was not given the money of the houses. And then he went back to the community and said, there is a money, but the government refusing to give me that money. It's better if we are in the march. And Kondo was leading the same march to the municipality to say, we demand money for building the houses of these people. They don't have the place where we can stay. So I'm thinking, and sometimes I'm dreaming that I want to be the council in order to help our people, our communities. So I'm also thinking also to join the ANC or to join other parties. I've been recruited by different politician parties. Communist Party, ANC, UIF, and PAC. So, but at this time, I'm also thinking that it will be wrong for me to join the politics. Because immediately you join the politics, when you stand up and saying, we are fighting the rights of the people against the mine. Other people who they have joined different parties, they are not going to support you because they will say it's because you are the ANC. They will say it's because we are PAC or Communist Party or UIF. So I'm thinking sometimes it's rather than I'm just leading the community in independent the way we are as community, because now I don't see any or different news from the community saying because I'm communist, because I'm the ANC, because I'm this and this. So we are just all of us the same, and then we are doing the same thing. Okay.